holy. You
Thank
are
you,
worthy,
God.
Father. We glorify
you, God,
Lamb
we
of
went
God.
From death to life, God.
Out of our spirit, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Do we offer up an everlasting I
we
worship
you.
You,
God.
Out of our
glorify
spirit, Father.
Your name, Jesus.
Out of our spirit.
We
regardless
you,
of what's at hand.
Hallelujah, God.
Regardless of the resistance, Father.
Jesus, we worship you, God.
Nothing.
We praise
we
you,
steward.
God.
We
Hallelujah.
Steward the I love you out of our spirit,
Hallelujah.
Lord. I steward those personal words of adoration out of my spirit, Father. I steward that, Father. No affliction, no persecution, no fiery trial or diverse temptation can keep me, Father, from lifting up my hands and saying, Jesus,
Hallelujah.
I love you. I steward that, Father.
Worthy, worthy.
I steward that, Father.
Worthy, Jesus.
An infirmity that you redeem me from, it cannot keep me, Lord, from saying your name throughout the night. Nothing, Father, can keep me from saying the name of Jesus, because God, you are my God, and early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longs for thee in a dry and weary land where there is no water, to see thy power and thy glory as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Listen to this. The psalmist said, because thy loving kindness is better than life. Listen to what he said. Because thy loving kindness is better than life. Therefore, I will lift up my hands and offer you praise.
Glory.
Nothing can stop me and you from saying that name with Jesus. If I happen to utter my last breath, it'll just be for a fraction of a second. And then I'll be saying his name all over again till eternity. Jesus, I love you, my King. You are worthy of all praise, my King. Just close your eyes with me. Listen to this. Just listen. Jesus. Just listen. Jesus. Jesus. Just listen. Think of nothing else. Jesus Christ. Jesus. Think about that for a little bit. Jesus. 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 My God. My Lord, my Father, my Redeemer, my Light, and my Salvation, my Rock, my Stronghold, my Strength, my Fortress, my Deliverer, my Buckler, and the Horn of my salvation. Jesus. You are all those to us. Thank you, Father, that we have been reconciled to you through the death and resurrection of Jesus. Your glory has quickened me. Your life, your nature has quickened me, Father. I have gone from death unto life because of your glory in me. And out of that glory, Abba, do we live. I worship you for it, Father. And every saint of God said, amen. Worship you. Worship you. Worship you. Hallelujah. I don't know who's here tonight, but I know the presence of God is here. That's enough. We're going to tag team it today a little bit, me and Kirsten. I know I certainly got something tonight. I've been excited all week long to share it with the young adults. I do not know about you, but I have been having a blast here on Wednesdays and Sunday mornings with some of the teachings from Pastor Bronk. And I love it. We're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. So I'm very happy to be here tonight. I'm very happy. I'm looking forward to hearing Kirsten, and I'm looking forward to sharing maybe 20, 25 minutes myself or whatever. We're going to tag team it. We won't be long. I believe the Lord put this young adult once a month gathering in my heart so that we could stay together in fellowship. And you guys are the future. Guys, I'm halfway home. I'm 48. I'm halfway home. I want another 40, 45 years, and I'm gone. I'll be with my mama. You are the next generation. And though I agree with Nathan 100% about this generation, about having a problem with authority, I believe him. I'm with him 100%. You know what? We're blessed here in this church, though, because I don't feel that with you. I do not feel that with you. You know why? Because you're here. I heard a young man say today, who I'm not going to say, when I'm going to give the mic to Kirsten, something that only the Holy Ghost, and I've known this to be far above a humanistic fact. I've known this to be truth, because 2 + 2 = 4, not 22. This young man said today, and I'm not going to say who, some of you heard him, And it's a very mature statement of a man, a young man that's feeling and hearing the conviction of the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm on time for work and for everything else in my life, he said to me today. He said, but I am never on time for church. He said, I know something is wrong in my life. It wasn't solicited. He came to that conclusion, not himself, but he had an ear to hear. And the Holy Ghost brought some conviction in his life. My friends, he said, I'm on time for work. I'm on time for this, and I'm on time for that. He said, but I am never on time for church. I didn't say a word. It's not my place to say. But my friends, it's going to take a selling out on our part. A selling out like never before to this man named Jesus Christ. A selling out. Being committed to the cross like never before. Like never before. And I'm going to be quiet because I will talk and talk and talk. I have the Carl Ellie syndrome. So I'm going to let my friend, your friend, and Siri cannot say her name, so I just call her Kay. So if it's okay with you, Kay's going to come up. Okay? Amen. Sister Kay, come on up. Round of applause for Sister Kay, okay? All right.
No pressure with Pastor Bronx here. No pressure at all.
All right. So, how many of you know who you are now? You know who you are? You are champions. You have the glory and DNA of a champion in your nature. That is who you have become. That is what you have been made. Not only are we champions and have the DNA of a champion on the inside of us, but we have been made more than conquerors. How much more us, when Jesus was obedient all the way to the death of the cross, our prototype, and if he was able to do it, how much more us now, being made more than conquerors, are we able to now lay our lives down and go all the way? How much more? I'm just going to share a couple of things. These are some of the things that have just been going over and over and over in my spirit for the past month or so, and even longer than that. About with having just an awareness that we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. Lord Sabaoth, Lord of the armies of heaven. We are his warriors and we are his sons and daughters. Not only are we warriors, but we are sons and daughters. It's like I just keep seeing this vision of all of us, and we are in full armor. We are like a united army in a training center. If you walked into the Marines Training Center, or you walked into years, thousands of years ago, where warriors or people were training for battle, what would you see? You would see everybody doing every single thing that you are taught to do, practicing over and over and over. You don't wait until war to read the manual. It's too late. You don't wait until war to read the manual. You do it now. We are already at war. We need to wake up. We need to know who we are and take our places. All right, so I'm going to read something that the Lord gave to me, two different things. And then we're going to read a little bit of word tonight, if that's okay. All right. I won't keep you forever, though, because I really want to hear what Homer has to say, actually. All right. Basically, I was just praying and going through all the things that we go through on a daily basis, the fight that is constantly facing us from the moment we open our eyes to the time we close our eyes and everything in between. There is a fight. There is a fight, Satan screaming at us, our flesh screaming at us, our friends screaming at us, the world screaming at us, our finances screaming at us, our body screaming at us. Everything is screaming at us. But as we stay full of the word and we stay in the word and we stay full, it will come up and do its job. The Holy Spirit will bring all things to our remembrance. That's what the word says. And I would just urge you that you keep this heavenly perspective of who we are, and that you are soldiers and you are in a war. Think it not strange. Think it not strange, the fiery trials that come against you. For we are in a war. But guess what? We read the back of the book and we know who wins. We just got to do our job in between, trust Daddy, and know that he's going to step in. That's what we're going to do. Because we know, this is not funny, it's not a joke. We know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against every principality and power and high thing that exalts itself. But I would urge you that you would daily put on the whole armor of God, that you would be able to stand in the evil day, that you would draw your swords and keep your swords at hand, not thinking of yourselves more highly than you ought, but casting down every imagination and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of God, being doers of the word and not hearers only. Stand therefore. Keeping your swords at hand, stand therefore. With your lamps full, stand therefore. Being rooted and grounded in love, stand therefore. That we would be like trees planted by rivers of living waters. Being rooted and grounded in love, that we would stand therefore. That we would esteem each other, each higher than ourselves, and that we would stand therefore. Having been taught and abounding with thanksgiving, doing the things we know to do, that we would stand therefore. As we have put off the old man and we put on the new, we will stand therefore, because we press on and we press on and we press on. For he is our great reward. We press on toward the mark of the high calling in Christ, being sober and ever so vigilant, continuing to guard our hearts and minds, and after having done all we know to do, we will stand there for. And that is what we will do. And that is what we will do until the bitter end. Okay. So we're going to back this up with some scriptures about standing, in case you need any more convincing. Because I know sometimes I do, because we hear it and we're here in church and we're all waving our hands and clapping, and then we go home, we go to sleep, we wake up and we open our eyes, and then bam. And it's almost like you forget everything. And it's like, oh my gosh, you better hope that that's in there. Like I said, don't wait to read the manual till it's too late. So, all right, so we're going to go to, if you have your Bibles or your phones, we are going to go to, first, we're going to go to 1 Corinthians 16. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit you like men, be strong. Basically, go out like men. Be like men, ladies. Don't worry about it. Be like men. Let all your things be done with charity, however. I beseech you, brethren, that ye know the house of Stephanas, and that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Addicted themselves. That is the answer. They have addicted themselves. You can't quit what you're addicted to. You must stay addicted. He is our addiction. And the only addiction that we want. All right, the next thing is going to be Ephesians. Let's see, let me find it, because I have to find it like you guys. So give me a moment. Okay, thank you, Homer. Appreciate it. All right, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, never leaving our mouths, never, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That is one of our missions. We're on a mission. We're soldiers, are we not? Okay, so who's our commander in chief? Jesus, is he not? Lord of the armies of heaven? Well, we are his army. So these are his instructions towards us. This is how we win. This is how we win this war. And this war is not over until he comes back. So that means we do not stop until he comes back. And that is what it is. Okay, next verse, Colossians chapter 3. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, or I'm telling myself. Okay, Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth, for you are dead and your life is hidden with Christ. Keeping that heavenly perspective when all else is going on around us is what keeps us going. Knowing that you keep that mindset, that perspective, that he is our reward, that this life is but a moment, but a vapor, and that we are going to be through it. And in the end, we're going to be standing before him. And we want him to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And we want to be able to say, we have fought the good fight of faith. All right, next verse, in case we still need more convincing about standing. Okay, let's do Galatians. All right, so we're going to do Galatians chapter 5. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. All right, Galatians 5 again, 13 through 26. I hope I'm not boring you with the verses. Okay. So we're going to go down to 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh. Although we know who we are and we know who we've been made, we will not use it as a liberty for the flesh. But by love, we will continue to serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walking is an action. It is an action. It's not, we don't just sit in the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit. It's a choice and it's an action every day. We die daily. How? By walking in the Spirit. That is what we do. Walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. He didn't say, don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh and then you'll walk in the Spirit. He said, walk in the Spirit and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. There is a difference. That is a paradigm shift in your thinking of how you overcome your flesh. It is not in your, you don't use your flesh to overcome your flesh. You use the Spirit to overcome your flesh. That's how it works. All right. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, because there can be no part of the flesh in any of this, because it's going to fight us till the bitter end, and you better believe it. But the Spirit is stronger. All right, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. All right. So we are going to go to Philippians. I'm almost done. We are going to go to Philippians chapter 3. And we are going to read a pretty big section. Let's see, 1-3, first of all. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but to you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision, for we are the circumcision, the work which worship God in the Spirit, and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. These are our instructions, remember? These are how we win. These are how we win. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. That was Paul saying, hey, no matter what you think, he still knows how the flesh works. He knows. He knows what it's about. Skip down to verse 7. But what things were gained to me, this is what we say over and over, but what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of the dead, not as though I've already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which go before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. All right, and last one, we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians. We're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. All right, chapter 5, starting in verse 4. All right. But ye, brethren, are not bound in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Remember, we know who we are. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet and hope of the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also as ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good. both among yourselves and to all men. Here's our instructions again. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything we give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, and quench not the Spirit. Despise not the prophesyings. The prophesyings that we have been hearing lately, my God, please do not despise them. Those are everything to us. We must hold them dear. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Because how do they know us? They know us by our fruit. So that's why it is so very important for us to abstain, not because we're under the law, but they know us by their fruit, and by our fruit, and that's it. That's how they know us. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless into the coming of Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. All right. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you so much. And this prayer, I'm going to read a prayer really quick and then I'm done. This prayer has been going over and over in my spirit. Every time that I feel like I'm in the fight, which seems like a lot lately, and I know many of you are in the same, the words keep going over and over. Despite the fight, I don't care. Despite the fight, we will not compromise. Despite the fight, we will not settle. For the life that we live, we now live by the faith of the Son of God. For it is by your grace, lest we should boast, that we would stand fast and fight the good fight of faith. For what will it profit us if we gain the whole world and lose our souls? We will not be bought, for we have already been bought with a price. Our lives are not our own. We are his bond slaves. We will not settle for the temporary pleasures of this life, for we know that these momentary light afflictions are working in us an eternal weight of glory. And you are our great reward, Jesus, for you alone are the only reason we live. Only you can satisfy our souls. You are everything, and apart from you, we can do nothing. For it is in you that we live and move and have our being. For surely you have set our feet in a wide place, and it is your perfect love that has cast out all fear. For we want to know you and your death, that we might know who we've been made, as we put off the old man and we continue to put on the new, that we might abstain from fleshly lusts that war against us, that we would continue to grow up in your perfect image. Leaving our old lives behind, we press on towards the mark. And after having done all to stand, we will stand therefore. We will not relent. We will keep our eyes fixed on you, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And we shall cross over to the other side, never looking back, going forth as a mighty army, in one accord, in soundness and oneness of mind, bound together, rooted and grounded in love, forever abiding in you, proclaiming the true gospel of Christ as living epistles, that we would be like a city set on a hill, full of your word, always ready to give an answer to those in need, that they might know us by our fruit, as we continue to stay sober and vigilant, always yielded to the Spirit, that we would remain humble and teachable, submitting ourselves one to another, esteeming each other above ourselves, loving and forgiving one another, that we would be ever so ready, with our swords always at hand and our lamps trimmed and full as and burning bright as we await our bridegroom's glorious return, redeeming the times, for your kingdom is at hand. And we thank you, Father. So we thank you for your grace that goes before us, because you have already made a way, Jesus. And we thank you for that grace and that empowerment. And we worship you. All right, guys. That's about it. That's our commission. Those are some. I mean, this word is inexhaustible. I hope I didn't exhaust you too much tonight by all of that, but it's inexhaustible. That's just tip of the iceberg. And keeping those things in you are what's going to keep coming up every time Satan comes at you. Boom, a word will come up. A word will come up. A word will come up. And you keep marching, and you keep marching, and you keep marching. All right. Homer?
Do I still have a job here, Pastor Bunk, at this church?
Yeah, you're working for Kirsten.
Okay, third in command now. Hallelujah. Did you enjoy that or what? Amen. I tell you, the Lord put this young lady in my heart several months ago, and I really felt, I said, that it was her time to begin to minister God's word. Now I really feel that, and it's amazing what she ministered, because it sort of parallels what the Holy Spirit laid on me. And if you would allow me for 20 minutes and it's gonna tremendously parallel what she said. Tremendously parallel it. I had a great time. I love hearing her. She's high strung like me a little bit. So I love hearing her. The young lady loves the Lord and just beginning of great things to come. Not just with her, but with many of you. And who handles a word in here? That's really, that's not up to me. It's, you know, it's not even up to Pastor Bronco who handles the word. It's just a matter of the Holy Ghost showing us. I mean, it's really, he gives the exaltation. The Holy Spirit gives it. Yeah, he's the only one that gives it. I've never asked anybody to minister before. I've asked her, and I just really felt it. And it's evident by what we're hearing and feeling when she ministers God's word. Amen. So I love hearing her. And we do it again, she'll be speaking again. So, guys, I've always said this, and it's funny how I'm not the most educated individual in the world. At work, I wasn't the smartest individual IQ-wise, but I did have a lot of common sense at work because I prayed in tongues for so much. And then it just affected. And just recently, there's been an ability in me to spell words. I mean, I've never had that gift before, but I prayed in the Spirit for so long now, and it is my day that I can just spell words that I never could even pronounce. So you figure, I mean, the praying in tongues has affected every area of my life, along with the ability to remember a lot of scripture, though that is not my righteousness. My righteousness is not quoting scripture to you. My righteousness is living the scripture that I quote. Because people are a dime a dozen that can quote scripture. It's not quoting the epistle that's righteous. It's living the epistle that's righteous. And that's all that matters. So don't ever get caught up on wanting to be a person that quotes scripture. Because I never try to memorize scripture. You just read it so much, it just... And you pray so much in the Holy Ghost that it just, it's like a magnet, buddy. It just comes. But you pray in the Spirit so much it affects almost every single area of your life. And I swear by what Pastor Bronk and Pastor David taught us for years, redundantly, over and over again, to pray in the Spirit. And it's just my life now, along with worship. And you know what I mean. But I've always said this, and I stand by, and it's sort of a paradox. And it really it is. And yeah, I paid attention to Pastor Bronk. And I asked a couple of people if it was a paradox, and they said, yeah, yes it is. I guess it could be. Asked people that had college degrees that know a little bit more than I do about words. And if I'm correct, if my pastor hears me say something that's out of line, and not that I'll ever say nothing on purpose out of line, maybe I'm off a little bit, he corrects me, and you know what? I say thank you, and we march on. I learn because I'm under subjection to the Holy Ghost. And if you're in a subjection to God or the Holy Ghost, you're in subjection to the people, and you're in subjection to your pastor, and you're in subjection to correction. If being corrected bothers you, you might want to look into that mirror one more time. Take a long, long look. I mean that with all my heart. But I've always preached this, and I'll die by it. And it's not wrong. It is not wrong. But I have said for years that the reason that there's failure in the body of Christ is because people do not know the power of the rebirth. And yes, that is true. I will die preaching that. We have to know the power of the rebirth. Amen to that? You with me? We have to grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to know the power of the rebirth. But that is a paradox a little bit, if I'm using this correctly. Why? Listen to this. Though Pastor Dave brought out a gem, when he would say, I have been born again, he said it with a passion, like if he had uncovered something new, and he had. And so I began to say what Pastor Dave said, well, I have been born again. But after all these years, I'm grasping what that means. So I would say to you, week in and week out, you have to know the power of the rebirth to know your liberty in God. Yes, that it's true, but that is a paradox. Why? Because when I got born again about 23 years ago, I had no knowledge of the scripture. nothing. I knew that Jesus was the Christ. I knew that Jesus was the Son of God. I didn't know that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus set me or made me free from the law of sin and death. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know that I am crucified with Christ, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son. I didn't know what that meant. So yes, I have to know. I have to comprehend Romans 6, 7, and 8. And praise God that Pastor Dave Roberson and Pastor Bronk have broken that and preached and taught that to us through Gary Carpenter and Nathan for years. And I grasp it now. And I see the freedom of the rebirth. The immediate freedom that the rebirth brings. I see that now, but you know what? I didn't see that 24 years ago, but that still did not disannul the fact. I didn't have the knowledge of the rebirth. I didn't know the power of what the spiritual DNA brought in my spirit. I didn't know what it meant to live a crucified life. Yet I woke up in the morning that day and I knew I had to throw away my pornography. I didn't know the power of the rebirth. Let me rephrase. No, I didn't know it. I hadn't sat under Pastor Dave's teachings. So yes, people fall because they do not know the power of the rebirth. But you know what? That's true, but it's a paradox. Because when I was born again, I knew nothing about the power of the rebirth. But I knew that the Two Live Crew had to go to the garbage. I knew that Cobra and Shaba and Dr. Dre had to go in the garbage. I knew the pornography in my house. I knew it had to go with no knowledge. Just a transition. No, just a new creation in my spirit. From death unto life instantaneously. I knew without knowing. You want to sit here and tell me that the word of God is not powerful, that I knew without knowing that I was free, that I was free? I didn't know I was free. I didn't know that I was free, but I was free not knowing that I was free at the rebirth with no knowledge of Romans 6, 7, and 8. No knowledge at all of it. Yet I was free. And I woke up that day. I beat on the door when my wife was asleep in another room. What? She hated me and I hated her. I said, I just gave my life to Jesus. She said, good, get out. What I wanted to say to her that day was, I think I love you again. That's what I wanted to say. Hey, I love you again. 2 weeks later, she gave her life to Jesus too. My friends, there's power in not knowing. There's power in not knowing. Bottom line is, we are without excuse. And now you made a mistake joining the Family Prayer Center of Immokalee. You made a grave mistake. It's in another doctrine of Pastor Bronk, because we are so accountable. Then why the failure? If there's power in not knowing, there's even more power in knowing what you did know, that you were set free. We have no excuse. So why the failure? Why the failure? Why the failure in the body of Christ? Why? You know why? Because we have a flesh. And the flesh went nowhere. But yet its dominion over us was broken. Listen to this. Psalms 18. And I'm done. Corey. First closing. Listen to this. Catch it. Let me see if you catch it. I'm going to repeat it 2 or 3 times in using the old covenant, the shadow regarding what I'm trying to set right now before you. David said, you gird me with strength for the what? Battle. You gird me with strength for the battle. You gird me with strength for the battle. You know why Christians quit? The strength is in them, but the battle comes. The emotions come, and it's so much easier to say no. He didn't say you weren't going to have a battle, man. He said, I'm going to gird you for that battle. He didn't say Goliath wasn't going to whisper 40 days in a row, twice a day, 80 times in 40 days, the same accusations over and over and over. He didn't say Goliath wasn't going to come. But he said, I'm going to gird you with strength when he does come. And this is the misconception. David cut off Goliath's head. Yay, yay, yay. Okay, he defeated the flesh that day. Goliath had siblings. Goliath had brothers. The flesh remains till the trumpet blows, my friends. Resistance, accusations, persuasive speech will abide till the day the trumpet blows. So like Kirsten said, we soldier. The flesh, the rhetoric, the persuasive speech of the flesh is irrelevant to sons of the kingdom. Irrelevant. The persuasive speech, the words of, I'm not even going to say my flesh, I'm going to say the flesh. That is not who we are anymore. We are new creations in Christ. We're not refurbished. Thank you, Brother Corey. We're not refurbished. We are holy, righteous, new creations in Christ Jesus. Homer, the old Homer before the cross, he's gone. He does not exist. Kirsten, before the cross, she does not exist. There's a golden man in me and in you. I have been crucified with Christ. That excites me. I have been crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. The flesh is going nowhere. My friends, let me encourage you a little bit. The last 2 years of my life, I've sought God like never before. There are certain things that I'm taught to do in God that I've done like never before. I've walked out of that prayer closet, 5:30, and felt very frustrated. You know why? Because the flesh is with me till I die. The temper tantrums. They still try to rise up in me. Nonetheless, I am girded with strength unto the battle. And boy, are we girded with an everlasting glory. Hallelujah. That raises from spiritual death to spiritual life. My friends, we were made more than conquerors immediately at the rebirth. There is power in not knowing. The flesh knows nothing but railing, accusations, and persuasive speech against that which spawns forth out of our spirit, and that is holiness and righteousness. Those persuasive words out of the flesh will never cease till the day we die. But let me tell you something. The more we pray in the spirit, the easier and easier and easier it is for me and you to want to go with what's right out of our spirit that the flesh opposes every, it gets easier and easier and easier every day as I spend time with Jesus. As I transform this spiritual mind of mine into his image, I go in there, I want to encounter Jesus. I don't go in there to preach. Though that's the grace that he's called me to teach. But right now for a season, I'm exhorting more than what I'm teaching. I don't go in there to get revelation knowledge, to preach. But yet it comes forth, because you can't spend your day with Jesus and not get revelation knowledge. There's no way. I go in there to encounter Jesus. I go in there to come out a better husband, a better father, a man that is in subjection to the people, a man that's in subjection to my pastor. That's the fruit. It's the fruit of spending time with Jesus. I promise you, I do not go in there to preach. The more and more I pray, if I'm called to preach the gospel, I preach it. I would much more rather sit down there and hear about Jezebel. But yet it's an honor to handle this. And I like it. But it's the same thing to me to sit right there and hear my pastor. My flesh is not the flesh is not my daddy. And the flesh is not your daddy. Will it rise up again? Yes, it will. With persuasive words that are irrelevant to sons and daughters of the kingdom. It's persuasive speech is not to even be repeated. It's thoughts about my brother and my sister, not even to be repeated. It doesn't matter. The rhetoric means that. It means persuasive speech. The Lord put that word in my heart 3 weeks ago. I didn't know what it was, so I looked it up. It means persuasive speech. And after going through Proverbs 4, 5, 6, and 7, the rhetoric, the words of our flesh, of the flesh, is persuasive speech. Everything about the flesh opposes that which comes forth out of our spirit. But do not fear. We have been armed and we have been saturated, and a glory in the life and nature of Almighty God lives inside of me and you. Now I know why King David danced before the Lord as the ark was brought into Jerusalem. Now I can see it. I can grasp it as the Levites carried the ark of the covenant into Jerusalem. There was two stones in that ark of the covenant, my friends. There was two stones in there. Two stones in there. And David said, you mean? He was exuberant, excited. We try to figure out Christianity and we overthink, we overcalculate. God, we overcalculate. Why did I do this? Why? Because you wanted to. That hurts. But it's true. It's true. He danced in an undignified manner before Jerusalem, dancing and celebrating. Why? He said, God is with me, and the ways of God are in two stones inside of this ark. My God, blessings and cursings. I know how to be blessed. Those two stones carry my blessing. As I keep what's on those two stones, the Lord of Sabaoth will always defend me in battle. What was on those two stones, my friends, is right in our hearts and in our mind. It's in there. The glory of God has quickened me and you. David was excited. He said, my God, God is with me. I know what to do to receive his blessings. My God, God is with me. He went crazy. He danced here and he danced there. He didn't stop dancing. He didn't feel and didn't have what we have. What was on those two stones is who we are now. Thou shalt not commit adultery is nothing to me and you. It's nothing to me and you. I've been with my wife 24 years, I think, something like that. And it is nothing. It is nothing. Yet it is something nowadays. Since I put a ring on her finger, I have slept with one woman. One woman, if I had intercourse with, that has been my wife. All the odds were against me. I was addicted to pornography at the age of 11. 11 years old. Promiscuous affairs. I'll just stop right there. Everything was against me. I was spiritually dead when I put a ring on my wife's finger. I said, the day that I put a ring on your finger, that will be the last time I ever sleep with another woman. I made that oath and promise as a spiritually dead man. And I've kept it. And if it's okay with her, I want to finish like that. I want to finish like that. I didn't know in the beginning what lived inside of me, but I knew I couldn't do the things that I used to do. So we are without excuse, because I didn't know back then, yet I did know that I couldn't do the things that I used to do before the cross. But now we do know that there's a spiritual DNA that abides in us. And the battle, we're armed for it with the glory of the Father. He said, you've armed me with strength unto the battle. He didn't say there was not going to be battles. My friends, and if Almighty arms me and you, that in itself is sufficient. That in itself is sufficient. That means that I've already won, but I gotta walk through the battlefield. I'm going to fight the emotions. Don't repeat the emotions that you're fighting against. Don't make your flesh smile and burp. I knew they were going to do it. Don't give the flesh the benefit of the doubt. And if you do, you lift up your hands, you revert back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, and you cleanse yourself with the blood of Jesus. But don't go to it just because you can. There's a difference. Let it be your last resort. I fought it, I fought it, I fought it, I fought it. Oh, Lord, I slipped. Don't go back to it just because you can. There's a power that lives inside of you, man. Oh, God. There's a power that lives inside of you. There's a power. An unquenchable flame. A strength. A desire. To want to live for Christ. To want to live. To tell the world about this man named Jesus Christ. But it will not be without roadblocks. The Lord girds me with strength unto the battle. See, most don't want to go through battles. It's easier to give in to what seems to be dominating words. They're just persuasive words. My friends, it's all in obedience. It's all in obedience. Amen. It's all in obedience. Glory. Glory to God. He is wonderful. You've been armed with strength, my friends, unto the battle. The battle today, the battle tomorrow. You're guaranteed a battle. There's also one thing that you're guaranteed, that His strength lives inside of me and you, and we have already won. Amen. But I will say this, drink waters out of thine own cistern. In other words, drink, partake of the words out of your spirit. You will never, ever be the same. Our greatest defense in our life is righteousness. Nothing else. It's not complicated. That's our greatest defense, is our righteousness. Amen. Glory. It's all in obedience. Kirsten nailed it. The Holy Ghost nailed it. Let's march on, soldiers. Natalie, let's march on. Let's march on. In case you guys do not know, my friend Alex Genty popped the question and Natalie said no. Yes. Alex and Natalie will be married sometime next year. He proposed to her last night and it was awesome. So, it's Mr. and Mrs. Gentlemanhood. Stand with me, please. Glory. Kirsten, I loved hearing you and look forward to hearing you again and again and again. Father, I worship you and I thank you and I praise you for you. You're worthy, Lord. You're righteous. You're holy. You are enough. You are enough. We worship you, Almighty God. Let's finish this. Amen. Amen. Glory. Are we going to? Oh, Kevin, one more time, Kevin. Oh, my God. Oh. All right, guys, we're going to go. Oh, you know, God bless. We'll talk in a little bit. God bless you.